Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Monday, December 2nd. We are already into the Christmas month, Peter.
Yes.
My name is Magnus Tiefold. I'm your host along with...
Peter R.H.
And we're going to be with you for the next hour. We have a bunch of different things to talk about today. We're going to start off in a few minutes with a report by our reporter, Danny Nesvarati, about the holiday hackathon put on by the Neil Squire Society. Just after that, a report from our friends in Winnipeg about a new Two-Spirit Pride flag. We have a review, a brief review of the East Van Panto's performance of Robin Hood on now until just after New Year's. What are you going to be talking about, Peter?
Well, I'm going to follow up from last week. Last week was the 27th anniversary of the 1997 APEC protests. And I'm going to give a bit of my background, how I came to go to the Vanarchy meetings in 1997. It was the precursor to it. And I'm going to talk about Gary Moffat, who was in Ottawa, because I lived in Ottawa for 2 years of my life, 1978 to 1980. And Gary Moffat is actually another Canadian who said, I am an anarchist, and I met him. So I met two prominent Canadian anarchists in a course of a lifetime. So I got other stuff to say as well.
Excellent. So that's coming up towards the end of the program. We also have a documentary on generosity. All that more coming up on today's program. Let's get started with Danny's report on the holiday hackathon.
You may think of hackathons as multi-day events, with programmers side-by-side staring at computer monitors while vigorously writing code. Well, for the Neil Squire Society, their recent holiday hackathon tasked its participants with hacking toys. You heard that right. The Neil Squire Society, a disability services and support organization in Burnaby that utilizes technology to empower Canadians living with disabilities, held a hackathon on November 22, 2024 at Brentwood Mall that let members of the public sit down and hack toys, equipping them with assistive switches that made these toys more accessible and easily usable for children living with disabilities. CJSF was able to attend the event, where we witnessed toys at every workbench being diligently worked on by volunteers, the smell of smoke in the air, and the buzzing and whirring of soldering irons at each table. Afterwards, we were able to speak with Chad Lehman, the organization's Director of Innovation and the co-founder of the Neil Squire Society's Makers Making Change program, which connects their volunteers with people with disabilities that are in need of assistive devices.
Think of them sitting around making code. This is more of a physical hackathon where we're making basically parallel circuits and toys, so having an alternate way to control them, turn on and off with different assistive technologies that the end user may use. So this is our biggest event. We're doing a part of our Hacking for the Holidays campaign. We're doing 80 events across Canada with the goal to adapt 200,000 toys and switches and get them out for free to our community partners across Canada. So they go to the Children's Hospital here in BC, BC Children's Hospital, the Sunny Hill Unit, as well as many early childhood development center, and even directly to some families that have kids with disabilities so they have the ability to play this holiday season too.
Later on, we asked Lehman how the Neil Squire Society was choosing the specific toys to hack in this event.
They want something that sort of engages at least one of the senses. So something either makes some sound, some lights, or other sort of tactile sort of pieces. Right now, this current group is adapting these cute little fuzzy hedgehogs that when, so they play like a soft sound of music as they play. But we've done some bubble blowers earlier today, and we have some other light-up wand sort of toys that we're doing as well. So different opportunities, different kids are going to be motivated to play with different things, so we have a wide variety of sort of options. The nice thing about doing this sort of hackathon thing is anything that takes a battery, you can usually adapt. If you go buy the Switch adapted toys that are commercially available, last year in Canada, there was three different options for sale, and the bubble blower cost $300. So we bought a bunch of bubble blowers at the end of season for about $5 each, and then the volunteers are adapting them. So it's much more affordable, and you get a much wider variety of selection.
Afterwards, Lehman provided some insight for those who may be interested in volunteering with Makers Making Change and the Neil Squire Society.
We served over 12,000 people this last year. So there's a number of programs that run at Neil Squire. If people want to volunteer, we take volunteers for both our digital literacy tutoring program as well as our Makers Making Change program. And that's what the Makers Making Change program is part of this today. So this is where people, they have some skills like soldering or STEM, or they're like an engineering student group at SFU. They can get involved, help build toys, build adaptation, do some of the 3D printing for us. And we should have some grants to run out to help support student groups that want to run these initiatives soon. So you should get in touch with us, makersmakingchange.com.
As the holidays continue, the Neil Squire Society will continue holding these holiday hackathons in the hopes that these Switch-assisted toys are able to reach the homes of children living with disabilities throughout BC and Canada. Thank you so much for tuning into this segment. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And this piece would not be possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. This piece can also be listened to on frequencynews.ca.
I've seen every variation.
thanks to Danny for that report. Next up, a group in Winnipeg has created a new two-spirit pride flag.
This community update was brought to you by U Multicultural. This week in Winnipeg marked a significant step in the celebration and visibility of the two-spirit community. The unveiling of the first Two-Spirit Pride flag, a new documentary, and a curriculum aimed at educating students, educators, and community groups brought focus to the diverse gender identities and spiritual roles recognized in many Indigenous cultures across North America. The announcement was especially meaningful in Winnipeg, where the term Two-Spirit was coined nearly 35 years ago at the Intertribal Native American First Nations Gay and Lesbian Conference. In a political climate where diverse identities are often under attack, Day of Pink provided a platform for education and advocacy. The event emphasized learning about 2SLGBTQIA+ activists, supporting reconciliation efforts, and fostering pride in one's identity. Prominent themes included reclaiming identity from colonial influence, self-acceptance, and creating a better future for the next generation. Elder Charlotte Nolan, a Métis woman of Oji-Cree and French ancestry, shared her journey of embracing the two-spirit identity. Now an elder in residence at the Indigenous Institute of Health and Healing at the University of Manitoba, she reflected on the liberation she felt upon adopting the term.
In 1990, when the term was coined here in Manitoba, I was sitting in the sweat lodge at the University of BC. And that's when I was told who I was. And I announced it to the people that were in the lodge. And I've walked that way since, that this is who I am. The liberation that gave me to recognize who I truly was. And, you know, I was traveling back from our Sundance grounds 2 years ago. I had a friend with me in the truck. And as we got to the city limits, I was told, this is why you're here on Mother Earth. This is what you have to do. You have to leave footprints behind that others will choose to follow.
The documentary, Reemergence, features Elder Nolan alongside artists, advocates, and elders who share stories of advocacy, identity, and community building. Filmed in Winnipeg, it includes voices such as Elder Barbara Bruce, Vita Lemoore, Brielle Beardy Linklater, and Feather Talia. For Elder Nolan, the term Tastawiniyao, meaning those who walk in between the two worlds, captures the essence of being two-spirit. It reflects a spiritual and cultural blessing, embodying masculine and feminine spirits and bridging the physical and spiritual worlds. Vita Lemur, a leader in Winnipeg's drag scene and co-founder of the Bannock Babes, expressed pride in the visibility reemergence brings to the two-spirit experience.
Just when I was starting to come out into, let's say, the queer community, I've always been on the fence about gender and always been confused about gender. And I think that when I came out into the queer community and started doing drag, there wasn't really much representation for Indigenous people, let alone two-spirit people. So I think it's important that these conversations are happening, because now, like, there's a community for you to belong to, and, like, you don't necessarily have to be of one, you know, gender of sorts. And then we're being represented finally. Like, this two-spirit flag, this flag should have been existed, like, years ago. So it's really important.
Feather Talia, Bannock Babes co-founder and mother of the House of Wolves, highlighted the importance of amplifying two-spirit voices in reconciliation efforts.
I think we should all give props to the people that have been doing the talking, have been putting on these events, because it's happening across Turtle Island, yet I don't think people do get to see it as often as it is happening, because it's not a conversation people technically or want to have. So it's nice to have even a place where we can even start having a new flag, having this video being put on. Like, a lot of hard work has been put into this, and it's a great starting point for even just getting people to talk about what two-spiritness is to different individuals.
Winnipeg educator Sarah Martins and Holly Cobb expressed excitement about the event's impact on their students. Martins explains.
First of all, they feel special getting to come to a big event at the museum. It's important for them to see a bunch of people coming together in support of the same thing, whether they identify with this community or not, to be a part of history with the new flag being unveiled, and to see themselves represented or their people they care about represented.
Both teachers highlighted the need for better educational tools to teach two-spirit history and identity. They praised the free resources provided by Day of Pink, with Cobb calling for greater investment from the Winnipeg School Division to create inclusive classrooms.
Yeah, I think along those same lines is education is what's going to help us come along. You know, we have to normalize this. These people, as they said, these people have always existed. This has always been a part of our history. We need to learn about that there's different people who live, there's different families, and people in our schools live these lives. So we have to stop pretending that they don't exist. You know what I mean? So I think it becoming part of our education, I think Winnipeg schools still need to come a little bit further in just making it part of our everyday, this is just what it is.
The documentary and curriculum are available for free through Day of Pink, offering a vital resource to continue these conversations and foster inclusive learning environments. With U Multicultural and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ryan Funk.
And that was from our partners, the community station in Winnipeg. Thank you for that. All right. On now at the York Theatre is Theatre Replacements' East Van Panto presentation of Robin Hood. I had the pleasure of going to attend the performance last Thursday evening with my daughter. And we had a really good time. If you're not familiar with what the Panto is, it's a really fun event. I mean, it's a particular style of theater that originated in England, sort of a comedic musical theater. In the case of this performance of Robin Hood and other performances, other earlier editions of the East Van Panto, they take a familiar story and then they bring in a bunch of pop songs and rework the lyrics to fit into the story. And then the whole thing is put together with a great deal of crowd participation. This year's edition of Robin Hood takes the Robin Hood story very, 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 very loosely. If you're familiar with the tale from its many editions on film and TV and cartoons and many other media. You probably won't find a lot of the main plot points coming up in the play. Not that that necessarily represents a problem, but you know, the Robin Hood story mainly shows it's shown, I think, through the loose idea of a merry band of thieves, you know, stealing from the rich and giving to the poor, through some of the character names, because there is a Robin Hood in it, and a Little John, and a Marion, and you know, a couple others. But most of the familiar plot points you might have seen in other editions of the tale, you won't necessarily find there. One thing that's really charming about these Fan Panto, this edition and others, is how very local it is. When they call themselves the East Fan Panto, they're not kidding. The story is based in East Vancouver, with appearances with sort of taking place around the Britannia Community Centre and Trout Lake Park. You know, featuring, you know, characters sort of that are linked to local politicians and stories. So in the case of this story, you know, the main villain taking the place of I suppose King John in the original story is a character named Prince Ken, who is in fact, of course, a closely styled on our the mayor of Vancouver, Ken Sim, as the villain. And the story sort of revolves around the idea of corporate interests that are overtaking the commons through public things such as parks and the community center, and turning them sort of into centers of private profit and taking them away from the public. And of course, so the struggle within the play centers around that. There are some terrific performances in this play, particularly Jason Sakaki, who plays two characters, one as Prince Ken and also as Marion the librarian, Haley Sullivan as Robin Hood herself, and Stephanie Davis as Tony the Pony, which is not a character you might recognize from Robin Hood. Particularly Jason Sakaki and Stephanie Davis really stand out. I think they probably had the best characters, but Stephanie Davis in particular is a terrific physical comedian, and she can generate a laugh from the audience with just a twitch of her head or a shrug of her shoulders. It's really wonderful to watch. Jason Sakaki came on, you know, as the two different characters, quite different, which is good because, of course, you don't get them confused, but a really energetic and charismatic performance. It was really fun to watch. All the rest of the cast were doing really great in their different roles, but those particularly Jason and Stephanie really had the strongest characters to work with. Like I say, the story doesn't really follow much other than the broad outlines of the idea of, you know, opposing corporate power, so to speak, which isn't really quite a Robin Hood theme, but, you know, stealing from the rich to give to the poor, it relates in that way. It's still a fun thing. If you haven't been to the Panto before, one of the things that's part of what's fun about it is the audience participation. There's a bunch of things that sort of happen at different points. If a character is on the stage and somebody bad is sneaking up behind them, you know, the audience is supposed to yell out, "Look behind you!" And whenever someone uses the phrase that they're going to do something, oh no, you can. Oh, now I've forgotten exactly what it is. Oh, they say something like, "Oh yes, I can." The audience shouts out, "Oh no, you can't." And of course, you know, if someone says something cute, you're supposed to say "aw." If someone is saying something mean, you're supposed to boo. which creates a lot of really fun moments for the audience. I'm not sure if the performance we went to on Thursday, I think the audience was a little slow on the uptake with that, because sometimes they sort of missed their cue, so to speak. Perhaps it was mostly a sort of newer panto crowd without some veterans who knew exactly when to jump in and get the audience started. So I'm not really sure if that was necessarily a function of the play itself or just the audience we were with. Because I also went to the panto last year, and there the audience was, for the night I went that time, which is on a Friday night, I think it was. Maybe that makes a difference, too. Was much more on top of jumping on all the cues and shouting out their support or condemnation or their warnings and the rest of it.
What was it about the previous year?
I think last year, I've seen it twice before, and I think last year was The Little Mermaid.
Oh, interesting.
And last year is centered. If you're from East Van, you might know this. If you're not from East Vancouver, you might not know this. The Mr. Mattress store, which is on Clark and Venables, right, just a little close to the Mr. Mattress is one of the main characters.
Oh,
so
for the previous year,
yeah. But I don't. I think I'm forgetting now, getting it wrong. That it was. I think when I saw it, it was 2 years ago. Was The Little Mermaid?
Mm-hmm. I was going to weigh in a bit. I've seen every variation of Robin Hood except the proper one. Because but the one that's the better one is actually Rocket Robin Hood. As being a bit of an animation snob, they used to do better animation. This is good, despite the fact that it's the most limited of animation.
It's very cheap animation.
But what they do, it's sort of an interesting premise. It's an outer space, 1,000 years into the future, mm-hmm. the 30th century, and yet the technology seems to have gone backwards, kind of like not quite Blade Runner. It's not that. But it's like they've gone to a medieval kind of era. And he is a descendant of Robin Hood, supposedly. They tracked it over thousands of years. And one thing that's a bit humorous, they got the overweight guy, Friar Tuck. They have these segments they keep repeating. And he just takes one bite out of the food and throws it back, if you remember that yep. scene. Kind of wasteful. And but then they got Robin Hood Daffy. Daffy Duck is Robin Hood. Rabbit Hood was Bugs Bunny. Then Walt Disney around early 70s did Robin Hood, called Robin Hood, but a fox mm-hmm. was Robin Hood, and they were all animals.
Yep.
And actually, Mel Brooks tried to do a weekly TV show in the 1970s called When Things Were Rotten, which lasted about half a year. And that was based on Robin Hood. So
I actually remember that series.
Yo, now we're getting that they didn't syndicate that one.
No. I don't remember how old it was, but I remember I loved the show. My parents hated it. There was always a bit of a fight each week because my parents hated watching him. We had one TV in the living room, so everybody had to watch the same thing.
That was right off the tails of Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, and about 2 years, 1975 or 76, and yet, despite a huge film success, Mel Brooks just didn't make a success in having that as a TV show everybody was watching.
So which one do you, because you mentioned you've seen everyone but the proper one, so which one is the proper one?
Yeah, I never seen the 1938 Errol Flynn one, yeah. but Robin Hood exists before that.
Yes, of course.
I think there's even a silent film, mm-hmm. which I haven't seen. But I don't know. It's funny that this at East Vancouver is another improper variation of it. Nobody ever does the correct variation, except Errol Flynn, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess there are newer ones because there is like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves with Kevin Costner.
Oh, I haven't seen that. See, I don't see the series.
Yeah.
You know what? I was never really into that kind of thing when I was younger. Like, just like oh, here's an adventure, a direct adventure.
Yeah.
And I got into superhero comic books a bit later in my childhood. Originally, like the Harvey comics, Casper Friendly Ghost. And then, you know, Uncle Scrooge and all that, or Tintin. Took me a while to go to the superheroes. So I never really was into that adventure stuff, and still really aren't. So, but Rocket Robin Hood, see it on, they got very, I recommend that. It's good, even though the animation is, it's kind of a very creative thing how they actually save animation.
Yeah. All right, well, go see that. We can probably find it somewhere. Also, go see the East Van Panto Robin Hood. It is a delight. And as I mentioned, they incorporate a lot of pop songs and then rework the lyrics. And it's a lot of fun as these songs appear on the stage, and then you're trying to recognize, you know, what song it is and who it was by. It's also really a show that's appropriate for every age because, of course, it's the kind of silly, fun kind of play with animal, you know, people playing animal type characters, because all the characters in this were like raccoons and ponies. You know, Robin Hood thought she was a raccoon, but she turned out to be something different. I won't say more. Little John is a raccoon. You know, they're trash pandas. There's a goose. They're an aggressive goose who's very good at scaring people away.
This is the Walt Disney film where he was a fox. It was an animated cartoon. Yeah. So they're doing maybe they're of that one because they were all animals in that one.
That could be. So, of course, the little ones enjoy that. My daughter really liked figuring out what the songs were and trying to identify them. For the adults, there's the sort of political commentary, which I didn't explain too much, but, you know, there's always local sort of politics stirred up into the mix. So there's something for everybody, and it's a lot of fun. It's at the York Theater on Commercial Drive, just near Hastings Street. It is running until January 5th, and you should probably check out your tickets pretty soon. They do tend to sell out or nearly sell out. So if you want to have some choice on the shows you go to, I recommend looking into it and getting your tickets soon. East Van Panto's Robin Hood at the York Theater until January 5th. All right, let's want to play some music now. And then we're going to be back with our documentary on generosity. Before then, this is from the band Ladytron. This is City of Angels, Bacchat's Made in Los Angeles mix. Mm.